Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the fall into sin, each day we battle against the evil one and our own flesh. And we can so easily be discouraged because we are weak and fall so easily. But we may find comfort from God's word, because in our text from Exodus 17 verses 8 to 16, it is clear that the battle belongs to the Lord. We read in verses 8 and 9, "Then Amalek came and fought with the Israelites at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.'" Our text takes place about a month after the Israelites left Egypt. They now face the dangerous threat of the Amalekites. The Amalekites were a desert-dwelling people, raiding towns and villages. So perhaps they were worried that the Hebrews would take their water sources or trade routes. However, the Hebrews weren't wandering through the Amalekite territory at all. Amalek came unusually far south to meet them. Their intention was to plunder this helpless people who had very little defense. In Deuteronomy 25, the Lord refers back to this attack, and he describes how the Amalekites attacked the Israelites when they were faint and weary, cutting off those who were lagging behind. And so we can picture this large group of Israelites, none of them trained soldiers, with all their supplies and livestock and children. And the Amalekites come from behind and begin to pick off the stragglers, like a pack of dogs pouncing on easy prey. This attack is wicked. You see, this battle is bigger than the words of our text. The devil is working through the Amalekites. He's the one who's really behind this. He was seeking to destroy God's people only weeks after they had been brought out of Egypt. It should be no surprise, then, that we face the same attacks from Satan today. He also targets us when we're weak. He's described in the New Testament as a ravenous lion looking for someone to devour. So even though our battle is now spiritual, that doesn't make it any less real or dangerous. He's always ready at our weakest times to lure us into sin. Brothers and sisters, we must see that God doesn't always stop these attacks from happening. He allowed his people to be attacked. God was using this battle to strengthen them and to prepare them to enter the promised land. God has a purpose here, and he also has a purpose in allowing Satan to tempt us and to attack us. But the battle still belongs to the Lord. We read further in verses 10 and 11. "So Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, the Hebrews prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed." Moses takes the staff of God in his hand. This is the same staff that God used to bring plagues down on Egypt, to part the Red Sea, and to bring water out of the rock. So we can almost anticipate that something big is about to happen. This is no ordinary battle. And we know this because the focus of our text remains almost entirely on the hilltop, not on the battle in the valley, but on Moses and his staff. And it's clear that the outcome of the battle was not in the hands of Moses or Joshua. Miraculously, when Moses' hands go up, the Israelites begin to win. But when his hands go down, the Amalekites prevail. This battle is clearly in the hands of the Lord. And yet, as Moses stood there watching the battle unfold, he grew tired. It's even emphasized in our text in verses 12 and 13. We read, "But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword." There's more time spent explaining Moses' weakness than the actual battle. So it's very clear that even in this small way, Moses didn't achieve the victory. He was too weak. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, it says that Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house and worthy of honor. And yet he was weak and insufficient. So it also says in Hebrews 3 that Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Moses was faithful as a servant, but Christ is faithful as a son. And when we consider our own weaknesses, then this is good news indeed. Because Jesus also was attacked at his weakest in the desert, and he prevailed. Christ is a mediator who knows what it means to face Satan's attacks. And so he intercedes perfectly for us at the right hand of the throne of God. He sees all our weaknesses and struggles and knows what it's like. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus always lives to intercede for us. So while Moses sat tiredly on the rock, we have an advocate in heaven who's already been victorious, and he sits beside the throne of God without weariness or weakness. Yes, the battle belongs to the Lord. After the Lord gave the Hebrews the victory, we read in verses 14 to 16, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, 'The Lord is my banner,' saying, 'A hand upon the throne of the Lord, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" God wants his people to remember this promise. His act of salvation is not to be forgotten from generation to generation. And God certainly didn't forget his promise. We eventually read that King David defeated the Amalekites, and then they're gone. We don't read about them as a people again. And yet, as we mentioned earlier, this story is bigger than the Amalekites. This battle is part of a much larger battle, a battle which began in Genesis 3, a war which still seeks to destroy God's people. We shouldn't be surprised by the hatred we face today. But just like our text, the Lord promised all the way back in Genesis 3 to completely blot out the memory of our great adversary. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And indeed, Jesus has already delivered the fatal blow at the empty tomb. In 1 John 3, it says that the reason he appeared was to destroy the devil's work, and through his own death, he destroyed the one who is death. And yet we may still wonder, what about all those times when we fall? What about all those times when we do give in to attacks? But here's where it's so important to see that the entire battle belongs to the Lord. Not one swing of the sword is done in our own strength. The reality is, we're just as helpless as those Israelites wandering through the desert. This battle to turn our hearts into flesh, to repent before God, this is also a battle that's won from the hilltop. When we in weakness can no longer stand, we must humbly and prayerfully look to the hilltop, where a perfect mediator intercedes on our behalf. In the daily battle that's fought over our hearts, the Lord is our salvation, and the battle belongs to him. At times, he will involve us, just like he did with the Israelites here in our text. And he does so to strengthen us, to purify us, to cause us to rely on him. And so we fight. But the battle belongs to him. And in the midst of war, that can be easy to forget. It may feel that the Lord is simply watching. We feel ourselves being beaten back. We grow tired and weary. But look up to the hilltop. The Lord is our banner. Christ Jesus is sitting there at the Lord's right hand on our behalf. In this we may find strength and confidence and joy. The devil's destruction is never in doubt. And then finally, one day, Jesus will come again. The very memory of the devil will be completely blotted out from under heaven, and the Lord himself will say, "It is done. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Amen."